consider Hong Kong part of China, praying for that. What's happening in Bolivia, what's happening in Costa Rica as well. And so as we come to pray, we believe that God has a purpose for everything that's happening. The most exciting thing that I actually read this week is about Nepal. 27 churches there have come together and officially have joined with our larger family, the Christian Missionary Alliance. Years ago, the seeds of the gospel had been sown in that place, and it's wonderful now to see we have a connection there. Okay, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that when you call us to talk to you in a way of conversation, in what we ourselves call prayer, we thank you that you make it easy for us to access to yourself, that your throne of grace, your presence can be felt here and now. And so, Lord, not only do we invoke your presence, but we invoke your lordship in our lives. Quiet our thoughts, our minds, that we can be focused on who you are, your majestic character, your kindness, your forgiveness of our sins, your seeking us out and longing to be in touch with us. And so today we want to connect with you, O God, in our spirit, in our thoughts. Lord, work through us and in us your perfect will. We do confess to you our sins, our way of running away from you. But Lord, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for giving us another chance. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins when we cry out to you. Father, we pray for those who are going through transition, whether it is a relationship, whether it is a job or in academics, in school. Lord, we pray that as we seek you, you will bring clarity to us on what our next step will be. Thank you that you guide and guard our futures, that you are the sovereign God, that we are in your hands. Help us, Lord, to be molded by you, to be more Christ-like. Father, we are grateful for who you are. We pray for Hong Kong, what's been happening there. We pray for peace to come into that city. We pray for a coming together of minds and of actions that will restore peace to the city. We pray for justice to be carried out. And so, Lord, we commit the people that we love in Hong Kong. And Lord, for those who are in authority in China and even in the local elections, Lord, that they would seek your face, that they would come to know that there is a greater power than political power. Thank you, Lord, for the churches and the people in Nepal as they celebrate a new beginning as a group identified with a missionary movement. We pray, Lord, that there will be much harvest of souls as they seek the lost. So we pray for your protection on the believers and on the churches there. So knowing that at times government had not been kind towards them, but Lord, we pray for perseverance under persecution. So we pray for Bolivia and other parts of the world where there is unrest. We pray, Lord, for your peace to reign in the hearts of the people. Father, this morning we ask that you prepare our hearts to receive your words that would change our lives. And we pray your anointing on Reverend Sharon Hui, and Lord, that she speaks with authority because all authority comes from you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Reverend Sharon, good to have you back with us. Thank you for ministering the word to us.
Is this on?
Yeah, this is on.
Okay. What does always mean? Does it mean sometimes, all the time, no matter what, whatever circumstances that is? You know, the thing is, when everything is going well, it's very easy for us to give thanks. I have a teenage son who is suffering from depression. Every day in our household, we really don't know what to expect. We don't know when he will go to school, and we don't know what he will do. We don't know whether he'll just sleep all day long. Every morning we face that. And how do you give thanks in that kind of a situation all the time? How do we give thanks and say, thank you, God? You know, when you being a parent, especially being an Asian parent, you really want your children to do well, and going to school is such an important thing for Asian parents, and you just feel that you're really failing as a parent, you know, when your son doesn't go to school. And also, how do you give thanks to the people around you? Because that also creates a lot of stress in our household, too. And so I was thinking, you know, maybe our parenting style is so different, and that's why he is like that. And then we will begin to argue, and we'll begin to fight and all that. And, you know, how do you do that? And how do you make Thanksgiving not just a one-day thing or a month thing, but throughout the year? And how do you keep that attitude of gratitude throughout the whole year, and make that a settled way of thinking, and that you always take that position and always have that mental state that you want to give thanks no matter what, just like what the scripture says. But before we go to the how, we want to take a look at why God commanded that in the scripture, that we always give thanks to God in all things. Well, I think the main reason is because most of us don't. We don't really give thanks all the time. I can tell you what we can always do. We can always find something wrong with somebody or with something. We can always find that in our life something is not working the way that we want it to go. And we can always find something wrong with our husband or with our wife. And, or something's wrong, you know, something is not going good in our job. There's always something for us to complain about. We all had negative experiences growing up, and we're all disappointed or discouraged at times. And all those experiences can form some kind of a negative thinking in our mind, and that it will influence our behavior to be negative. So even though sometimes we do remember that we have to give thanks and all that, we do drift away from that. I want to ask you this morning, like, what do you have in your life right now that at one time you were so excited about, that you were just so full of joy and so amazed by, and now this same thing has become the thing that you're complaining about all the time? Think about the spouse that you've been praying about. At one point you were so excited, and then you got married, and now you start complaining about, oh, what is this that I got here? Or that job promotion that you've always been wanting, and then now you got it, and then now you're all just grumbling about it. Remember the children of Israel? They were, they were so excited when God led them through the Red Sea. Do you know how many days it took for them to complain? They were singing great songs and says, great is the Lord. And he had thrown all these horses and the chariots into the sea. And great is the Lord, they were just singing. And then it took them for 3 days. 3 days they started to murmur and complain. For me, I might take another day or so, but not 3 days after seeing God's glory. You know, the natural thing for our human flesh is that we tend to drift if it's not disciplined by the Holy Spirit. We always drift towards the negative. It's like this huge, huge negative magnets that's always drawing us. And we don't have to try hard to complain, but we always have to try hard to give thanks. We don't always try to be sweet and nice, but we just turn to be, you know, really grouchy naturally. And also, not giving thanks is a very dangerous thing. Look at the children of Israel. They ended up wandering the wilderness for 40 years. They lost the opportunity of blessings, of stepping into the promised land. That first generation, besides two men, everybody perished before they could. They never set foot into the promised land. And when we grumble and complain, we actually open a door for the devil to come in to work in our lives. Jesus says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And how he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy is through our complaining and not having a grateful heart for all the blessings that God has given us. And then we lose our effectiveness of being a Christian. We lose our witness. It stifles our growth. The fruit of spirit is not coming out. And then it ends up that we become very miserable as a Christian. So how do we cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving? The psalm that we read earlier, it says, shout for joy to the Lord. Look at that emotion that is in this psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. And enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And give thanks to Him and praise His name. There's just a lot of these exciting emotions. And these emotions is not based on being, you know, that we're just simple-minded, that we're just an emotional person. But it's based on the knowledge of God. Verse 3, it says, know that the Lord is good. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We know that God is our creator. We understand how great He is. He is not only a platonic God who just created us and left us there with no relationship, but we know that we belong to Him. He cares for us. He's mindful of us. The Bible says that even the number of hairs in our head, He counted. He knew. Do you know that our hair, the number of our hair changes all the time? Not just every day, but all the times. As you're sitting here, some of the hair may have fallen off. That's how mindful He is to you. You really belong to Him. And He has done so much for us. So that's why we need to praise Him and we need to thank Him. Do you know the basic difference between praise and thanks? Praise is for who He is and thanks is for what He has done. And we say it really so closely together because you cannot separate who God is from what He is doing. He's always so involved with every aspect of our life and we can totally trust Him. You say, well, I'm not really an emotional person. I can just feel it in my heart, and I don't have to really express it in my words to praise Him. Well, just imagine if you're a golfer, and then for every hole, it was a hole-in-one, for 18 holes. What would you say? Would you say, that's pretty good. Or you'll say, whoa, can you believe that? You'll be exploding emotions. Or your favorite football team, you know, had 7 touchdowns in a row. What are you going to say? Will you just sit there? Oh, that's pretty good. Or would you be just say, praise the Lord, you know, yay, go. And the thing is, you know, when we do that to the, to the football team, people would say that we're a real great fan. But when we do that to praise the God for what He has done for us, we're called a fanatic. Feelings do not authenticate truth, but feelings do authenticate the understanding, your understanding of the truth. In the Bible, there are 76 times that says, tell us to give thanks, not just to God, but also to people. Do you know that there's a difference between being thankful and giving thanks? Do you know what the differences are? Being thankful, you can just think about being thankful. Like I remember when my kids were young, and then my husband, I stay home to take care of the kids, and all day long, I would really think about my husband, about how great my husband is, you know, what a nice person he is, and I miss him a lot when I was with the kids. And then I think all day long, and I said, oh, thank God so much that I have a really godly husband, and he goes to work and to provide for us, so I don't have to work, and I can have the privilege of taking care of the kids. And I think that all day long, and then until he comes home, and then I'll be busy cooking for dinner, and because I want to show my appreciation to him by cooking him some good food, because he likes to eat good food. And then when he comes home, and then I was with the kids all day, and then I was cooking, very busy, and then I just see him sitting there looking at me like this, you know. And then the first thing that comes out to my mouth is, why are you just sitting here? Why can't you do this and do that? And that's the first thing that he will hear. And the thing is, for everything that I was thinking about how appreciative I am for my husband, he never heard a word. He never knew that was in my heart. But what he heard is, why are you just sitting there? Why can't you do this and do that to help me? All he heard is just criticisms. And then how would he feel? You know, I work all day and I came home and all you do is you criticize me. And you know how our evening would go, you know, when that happens. And that's why we need to say it with our words when we are thankful. We need to give thanks and say so. Not just think thanksgiving, but to say thanksgiving. Do you know how many divorces that can be eliminated if we are truly a thankful person with our lips and with our mouths? Do you know how many relationships can be restored and how many relationships can be a lot better than what it is if we would just say a simple thank you for our spouse, for our friends, for our boss? Some of you may say, well, thank you for what? You don't know my circumstances. You don't know what kind of a husband that I have. You don't know what kind of kids that I have. You don't know my boss. He is just unbelievable. The truth is, there is always, always something you can give thanks for. You know, we Christians should be the most grateful people. Just think about how great a salvation that we have. We all owed a debt that we could never pay, and yet Jesus Christ would come to lay down his life for all of us. That children's song says, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me. How great salvation you have. Thy great salvation, so rich and free. We have so much to be thankful for. You know, when, you know, how you look at a problem and that problem becomes bigger, it's the same thing for being grateful. When you look at a small thing to find some small thing to be grateful, that small thing will grow to be bigger. You know, we don't have to wait for a big thing for you to be thankful for. Just start looking at small things. Just find something very, very small in somebody's life to be thankful for. If you can find a small thing, try to find half of a small thing. If you can't if you cannot find a half of a small thing, find a quarter of a small thing. And if you can't find a quarter of a small thing, try an eighth of a small thing, or try a sixteenth of a small thing. You get the idea. You know, and then when you have that, when you see that small thing that you can be grateful for, make a big deal out of it. And to go beyond and above to thank that person. And when you do that, you will see how the atmosphere around you will change. I can guarantee that. Paul says in Philippians 4, there, a very familiar passage, he says, be anxious for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication with what?
Thanksgiving.
Let your request be made known to God. And the result is that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What Paul is using here is actually a military term. When you let all that request be known with thanksgiving in your heart, you're actually surrounded by this, you know, like the Roman army, the Roman soldiers. They will surround you to protect you, to protect your mind. And when that happens, you know you're so secure that you know that nothing will snatch you out of God's hand. And then you will have this peace which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding be with you. I remember there was one time I mentioned about earlier, you know, with my son that's being very unpredictable. And I got, you know, the early years, you know, when he had the problem. And I did not really know how to handle that. So I got really, really angry. I got really angry at him. I got really angry at my husband. I was just a very, very angry person. And I just really became a fire-breathing dragon. And I was, you know, breathing fire at everybody. And then I said, I could not do that. You know, like, God has loved me so much. You know, but then I just couldn't control myself. I was just so angry. And then so I prayed and I said, Lord, what can I do? How can I calm down? And then all of a sudden, this song, the children's song, which is from Psalm 100, verse 4 there, it says, enter his gate with thanksgiving in your heart and his courts with praise. That, wow, that is how you enter back into the presence of God, where there's joy and where there's peace. And so I started to give thanks. And I started seeing things differently. I thank my God. I thank my husband for being there with me. And I thank God for my son, because I know this is just temporarily. And then, you know, one day God will really break through. I started thanking him. And that is when peace and joy started to come back into my heart. And in the message, the translation, I really like the translation. It says, you enter into the presence of God with the password, thank you. How many of you have the password, thank you, on your computer? Maybe you should do that. You know, try thank you to be one of your passwords. And that is how you can enter into God's presence. And you say, oh, wow, this is hard. You know, sometimes there's situations that's just impossible. I just cannot do it. You know, when we go through the gates, and the gate, do you know what the material of the gate is? In the book of Revelation, do you remember what John says, the material for the gate? That's right. Revelation 21:21, it says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. And each individual gate was of one pearl. And do you know how a pearl is formed? It is from an oyster. When an oyster gets a grain of sand trapped into the flesh, the soft flesh inside the shell, it causes a lot of pain and discomfort for the oyster. So the oyster would ooze out some kind of a liquid with saliva and calcium. And then it would coat the grain of sand. And then it hardens. The oyster would continue to do that until the grain of sand no longer causes pain. And that's how the beautiful pearls are being formed. Sometimes that started something that started out being very painful will turn into something very beautiful and valuable. So in the midst of pain and discomfort, we need to take that position and say, I am going to give thanks to God. I am settled for this mindset that I will thank God in advance, because I know all these things will work out. And I know that all things will work for good for those that love the Lord, and I know that God is going to work it out for good. We know that there's nothing that God cannot fix. And plus, Psalm 100 verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." We know that those attributes of God will never change. He's always good. His goodness is established on the cross. It's not on our circumstances. You can always count on His faithfulness, and you can always stand on His promises. David, he says in Psalm 103, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." This is the man who once said to his soul, he says, "O soul, why are you so weary in despair? And hope in God." He felt that depression and he felt that despair in his soul. But then when he remembered to give thanks, when he remembered all of God's benefits, he's once again be able to sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." You know, when we understand what God has done in our life, all of us would just cry out how great God is and praise Him. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. You know, next Sunday, when you come to this church, what would happen if you just come in by the driveway here and you started thanking God? When you're coming into the gates of His temple, of His church, you bring praise and you bring thanksgiving with you. And what would happen if when you walk through this door and you start singing and you praise Him and you give thanks to Him? You know, the whole atmosphere of the church will be different, will be changed. And everything will be really uplifted. The psalmist says, "I stop to praise you 7 times a day, all because your ways are perfect." What would happen if we truly stop and praise Him all day long and praise Him? What do you think would happen? Try it. Daniel had a good attitude. Remember, he was forbidden to pray, but he didn't listen to the authority. He continued to pray 3 times a day, morning, lunch, and evening. What would happen if we had an attitude like Daniel? Would just stop everything and pray and just praise Him and to give thanks to Him for all that He has done for us. Do you know that there is a real power in thanksgiving? Remember the story of Jehoshaphat? One time there were 3 great armies coming to attack them. King Jehoshaphat was a king of Judah. Judah was just a very small country. And then these 3 great armies are coming towards him. Have you ever felt that sometimes when things happen to you, it was not just one thing, but multiple things that come at you? What do you do? Jehoshaphat, the Bible says he was terrified by the news, and so he begged the Lord for guidance. And then the Lord came back with these words. He says, do not be afraid or be discouraged, because the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And he says, you don't even need to fight. So just take your positions and then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. And so when King Jehoshaphat heard that, he bowed down and worshiped. And the Levites were also praising God. And the Bible says that they shouted out with a very loud shout. And then King Jehoshaphat, he appointed singers to go in front of his armies. And they were just singing songs. And this is what they sing. They said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for His faithful love endures forever." Can we all say that together? Give thanks to the Lord, for His faithful love endures forever. And as they continue to sing and praise God like that, guess what happened? The enemies were so confused that they started to attack one another. And by the time King Jehoshaphat and his armies got there, there was not one single army, not one single person was not killed. Isn't our God great? You know, praise and thanksgiving is one of the most powerful weapons that we can have as Christians. In Psalm 149, verse 6 there, the psalmist says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouths, and a two-edged sword in their hand." That is a beautiful picture of what happens when we're praising God and when we give thanks to Him. We're actually fighting a very important spiritual battle. We are actually coming against Satan's fierce attacks. Remember Paul and Silas, one time when they were in Philippi preaching the gospel? And then they got thrown into the jail. They got severely beaten and then got thrown into the jail, into the very inner part of the jail. And then their hands were in chains and their feet were in these stocks. But at midnight, the Bible says that they started giving thanks and praise to God. They were starting to sing praises to God. And God heard their singing. And God started to nod His head. And then God started to snap His finger, going with the rhythm. And then God started to tap His foot. And when God started to tap His foot, guess what happened? A massive earthquake happened. And it says that all the doors of the jail were thrown wide open. And then every chain of the prisoner fell off. God has already set us free from all the bondage. But a lot of the Christians don't have that freedom, don't sense that freedom. It's because we don't know how to give thanks to God. And it is through thanksgiving that our chains can be broken off, that we're truly set free to really enjoy this abundant life that He has given us. So no matter what happens, continue to give thanks. There will be a real breakthrough into your life. And also, it is true for medical science too. Lately, there's a lot of studies on neuroscience, on the neuroplasticity. The brain is a very fascinating and complex organ created by God. And God also provided us with a manual how to use this brain, which is called the Word of God, the Bible. Paul says in Romans 12 there, "Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Now let me ask you, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is the will of God, to just give thanks. Dr. Caroline Leaf, she's a brain research scientist, and he says that, you know, before, you know, we thought that old nerve cells in the brain deteriorate, and then no new ones are formed. And then the brain will diminish with age. Thoughts like Stephen Hawking, he thinks that our brain is just like a computer. One day it's just going to break down, and then you cannot fix it anymore. You just have to throw it away. And so a damaged brain is also incurable. But new imaging techniques showed us that that's not true. You know, the new imaging actually showing that every morning there are thousands of new neurons that are being produced in our brain. And this is called neurogenesis. And then not only that, the imaging also shows that the DNA cells can actually change as well. You know, when you're under stress, when you're angry, when you're frustrated, they can actually see that the shape of the DNA would change. The DNA actually would tighten up, it will make it a lot shorter. And then sometimes it will switch off many of the DNA codes. And then you will just shut down. But the good news is that because of neuroplasticity, it can be reversed by feeling of joy, by feeling of love, by feeling of appreciation, and also gratitude. And so they actually can see that when you're being thankful and joyful, and they actually could see that new pathways are being formed around the neural cells there. So that's what the Bible is talking about, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that you may prove what the will of God is. Let me ask you, what is the will of God? Giving thanks, that's right. So we need to think God's thoughts so that we can be transformed. That's why Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, and whatever, if there is any excellence, or if there's anything worthy of praise, think on those things. Meditate on these things. Always give thanks for God, to God for all things. You know, your unhappiness, ultimately, not depending on the circumstances of your life, but from the condition of your mind. You can think God's thought, and you can continue to give thanks to Him, and you can overcome your situation. No matter how bad your situation is, there's always somebody that has something worse than you. We know this family from a Redeemer. It seems a lot of tragedies happened to them. The wife was battling cancer for about 2 years. And then last year, their oldest son got married, and then they had their honeymoon. They got married in Hawaii and honeymooned there. And then, so during the honeymoon, the groom fell, and then while he was hiking, and then just never came back. And then so you can just imagine how devastating for the widow and for the family. And then this fall, their younger son was diagnosed with leukemia. So just like tragedies, one after another happened to this family. But when you saw them, you would never know how much they're going through. There's always a smile on their face. They're always faithful in attending church and giving thanks to God. Paul says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of attitude is that? In Philippians 2 there, Paul says, God, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, and even death on a cross. This is the kind of attitude that God wants us to have, is to have a humble attitude, a humble mind, which is the hardest of all virtues. But humility is the foundation of every good relationship, and is the foundation for every good attitude. Pride is the number one enemy for having an attitude of thanksgiving. I know that every time when I get really upset, when I get really angry, it's always because I'm only thinking about myself. I think that I'm just too far important to put up with all these inconveniences. And I think that, you know, everyone should consider what I am going through. And I think that I deserve better treatment than what I am getting. But in reality, we really deserve nothing. All that we deserve is to be eternally lost. We are really nothing except by the grace of God. We really have nothing good in us except for the goodness of God. Because everything comes from the Lord. Have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. Be humble and be thankful. And that is the most beautiful attitude that we could have. Because every time when we're consumed by our problems, and when we are just so stressed out about life, with our job, with our family, we're actually saying that our circumstances are more important than what God commands us, which is to be thankful. Being thankful really gives us the power to overcome many things and to live a victorious life. Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. It's not just come just once a year, but it's a lifestyle. So start today being thankful. Find some little things that you can be thankful for. And stop and pause and think about something that you can be thankful for. And no matter what happens, no matter how hard it is, enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart and enter His courts with praise. And if you do this, I promise you, you will see things change in your life and you will start living the way that God really wants you to. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You because of the great things that You have done for us. You're great God. And Lord, that You are so involved in our life in every little detail, that Lord, You command us to give thanks always. Help us to be obedient to You no matter how hard our situation is. And Lord, that we want to give You glory in our life. So help us, Lord, teach us and remind us every day, every moment of Your greatness so we can give thanks to You for who You are and all that You have done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.